You may remember a story that came out about 6 weeks ago out of Springfield, Illinois, about a very odd phone call to 911.
911.
Hi there. I'm stuck in a pair of handcuffs. I'm going to need help getting out before this becomes a medical emergency.
What's the problem?
I am stuck in a pair of handcuffs.
You're stuck in a pair of handcuffs?
Yes, playing with them, so I need some help getting out.
Okay. What's the address where you're at?
2119 North 20th.
Your name? Okay. Is this a business you're at?
It is actually, yes.
Okay, what's the business?
St. Aloysius.
Okay. Where at in the building are you?
I'm in the front room. Come to the front door.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now the 911 operator obviously asks somebody else a question, then comes back.
Okay, we're going to get help over there for you, okay?
Okay, I'll be here.
Are you an employee there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, are you the only one there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All right, we'll get somebody over there, okay?
Thank you, sir.
You listened in the end there. The tone of the 911 operator was like, okay, all right, we'll get somebody right over there. St. Aloysius is the name of a church, and the guy who was calling was the priest, Father Tom Donovan. And the reason his voice sounded like that, yeah, how's the guy over here, is because he was wearing a mask and a gag in his mouth with a steel bar across. I'm going to have to go from right away. Yeah, that's
a standard issue, yes.
Now, the story has gone a little bit further because the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Springfield has sent a letter to their parishioners from Bishop Thomas John Papraki, who says, as detailed in the transcript of the 911 call and in the police report, Father Donovan had bound himself in handcuffs and called for assistance when he was unable to remove them. The police officers state that he was alone and fully clothed when they arrived at the rectory. There was no indication anyone else had been present. No crime was committed. No one was arrested. No alcohol or drugs were involved. I'm not sure I believe the no one else was there part.
Same thing.
I've never been handcuffed. I've never worn a mask or a gag. Does not seem to me to be solo activity. But they go on in this letter, and the letter is several paragraphs long. And one of them says, with Father Donovan's consent to disclose private patient information, I wish to inform you that he is being treated by a clinical therapist and is receiving appropriate medical care. A thorough review of his work and lifestyle patterns reveals multiple significant unresolved stressors derived from parish ministry and severely compromised patterns of self-care with respect to diet, exercise, sleep, and work hours. In other words, this guy wasn't taking care of himself.
Right.
He wasn't eating right. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't getting exercise. He was... Okay, fine. He's a little bit stressed out. He doesn't take care of himself. I don't know if he could be qualified as a fat slob or whatever you want to think of him as. Then here's the next paragraph of the letter. The unfortunate result of such patterns of life, in no way limited to the experience of Catholic priests, is that persons often find themselves seeking patterns of self-medication to soothe emotional turmoil. Well, we know that. We know that to be a fact.
Yes.
Lots and lots of people who have trouble, they turn to whatever is in the medicine cabinet or perhaps illegal things, alcohol, illegal drugs, whatever. None of those were present in this situation, says the letter. And it says, instead, according to the clinical therapist, Father Donovan is suffering from a psychological condition that manifests itself in self-bondage as a response to stress.
Wow.
Self-bondage as a response from stress. Raise your hands if you believe that.
Maybe Lisa Ling can go check that out. You see her new journalistic thing she's doing. She's doing the last night she did it on swingers, but she's going in and doing different reports on sexual bondage mm-hmm. and different things like that. So maybe
sexual,
we can have her check it in.
Sexual bondage. Involving somebody else.
Well, when you're talking like this about this guy with bondage, that's the first thing.
Okay.
You think of.
Now, I will tell you that at the end of that sentence that I just read you, Father Donovan is suffering from a psychological condition that manifests itself in self-bondage as a response to stress. There's an asterisk pointing to a footnote. And you skip over three more paragraphs and you get to the footnote. Non-sexual self-bondage as defined by clinical therapists. Quote, non-sexual self-bondage is not a well-researched phenomenon in which a person administers some form of physical self-restraint for the purpose of reducing stress or tension buildup, but without sexual arousal. Many people are aware of sadomasochistic sexual bondage between two or more persons, may be aware of self-bondage for the purpose of sexual arousal, but non-sexual self-bondage occurs when a person has experienced significant stress.
Are we going to raise our hands for who's buying that one, too?
Right. I don't see any hands being raised.
No.
I understand some of your hands are bound right now.
Yes.
But still. I love, by the way, when we have the description from the clinical therapist, right in the first sentence, he or she says, it's not a well-researched phenomenon. In other words, we're pulling this out of our ass. We are making this up. We don't have any idea what this is. Can this guy ever go back to the priesthood? Can he ever live in Springfield again?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
But they'll shuffle him off to a different parish or
this is one of
city.
Those. This is one of those where you absolutely know there's more to this story.
Yes.
But we're not going to find out until somebody, perhaps if there was somebody else in the rectory that night with him who was applying the gag and the handcuffs, maybe that person eventually comes forward. I don't know. Do they have to talk to Oprah? I don't know how that works anymore.
Take their choice. Kirk.
If you look up, Paul, in a Google search, non-sexual.
I'm not looking that up.
If you do.
I'm not going to.
You did? The only thing that comes up is this guy. He's the only one.
So when they say it's not well researched, they mean so far in the history of our time, psychiatrists have found one guy.
And it's this guy.
One guy, this priest, who's doing this. Oh, man. You know that's one of the... You know, here's what I picture. The guy is... let's go with this scenario that he is alone.
Okay?
Let's pretend that could be the scenario. Let's just play this out for just a moment here.
Okay.
All right. So he's there that night, and the stress of being a priest is getting to him.
Okay.
He's not taking care of himself. He's not eating right. He's not sleeping well. He's not getting enough exercise.
Hard to do with
In other
mask
words,
on.
Thus far, he's every American, right?
Yes.
There's only 320 million people in America exactly like that.
All right.
Okay. But for him, the stress has gotten so bad that he has to handcuff himself. Which he has to do, by the way, after. He can't do that first because you handcuff yourself first. You can't do anything
else.
He puts the mask on himself with the gag with the through in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then he handcuffs himself in a way that he can't get himself out of the handcuffs, which I guess means he dropped the key in the toilet or something.
Yeah, it had to be something like that.
What he was, you know what? Here's a little tip for you kids listening in today. While you're putting on handcuffs and holding the key, don't do it over a grate. If you drop that thing, it goes down. It's like that time you lost your keys in Clayton and it went down. Yeah, you don't want to do that. So, okay, so now he's in that situation. Now remember, he's a member of the clergy. A respected member of the community. People have been coming to his masses and all the rest of the sort of stuff. This can't get out. His first thought is not, I got to call the cops to get me out of this. His first thought is, right?
Yes.
I mean, picture this scenario of where he is and what he's done. And now I think the call to the cops is the last resort because he knows 911 calls are all recorded.
Boy, that's true. Yeah, that'd be a tough call.
Do you think that there were other people he called first? Because I have a friend with a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Why would you, knowing 911 call, and you're a well-known member of the community, this is going to be bad for you. This is a scandal that is not going to go well for you. The cops are going to respond. They're going to help you out of the handcuffs, take the gag out of your mouth, ask a whole bunch of questions, and there's going to be an official report. And then eventually it's going to become public, and idiots in the media like me are going to get their hands on it and play it on the radio.
Oh, this is running wild, I bet, everywhere.
Yes.
Frankly, Paul, I think the first call he made was, hey, where'd you go? Get back here.
Well, I'm still tied up. No, okay, now let's assume that there is somebody else actually there. Okay?
All right.
Somebody who he's doing who knows what with. They're playing all sorts of 50 Shades of Grey games. I don't know.
Okay.
At a certain point, he tells that person to get out of here. Because if the cops come and they find you and me here, that's even worse.
Yes, yes.
Why doesn't he tell that person, go someplace and find a hacksaw or some equipment?
We've got to have tools in the basement.
If not Lowe's or Home Depot or something, go down to the Jenkins house, knock on their door, tell them you got locked out of your car. Can you borrow a crowbar? Something.
Yeah.
I mean, how many steps do you have to go to before you call 911?
Now, was his hands behind his back, or were they in front?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
Because that would be a good telltale sign.
You want to take some calls on this? Go ahead. Answer, line up a couple of calls there. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, *KTRS. By the way, I originally had seen this story and thought, wow, we've got a great one for knuckleheads in the news today. No, no, no. This one gets its own spotlight. I have a bunch of great stories and knuckleheads we'll get to in the next half hour after Mike Evans, but this one absolutely deserved its own spotlight. Where am I going to first? Jim?
Line one.
Jim on line one. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I thought it might be better if, instead of the guy calling the police at first,
yeah,
if there was a convent attached, it was a big congregation, they had a convent attached.
I don't know if they do.
He could have called up Sister Rattle Her Beads on the pew, and maybe she could have come over and helped him out of the thing. Instead
somebody.
Of calling the police first. Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. Right?
You want to try to keep it out of the public eye as much as possible.
I think that would have worked a little bit better.
Maybe Sister Teresa took a vow of silence, too.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Charlie, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
You keep saying he was gagged and you're making muffling sounds and that. How do you make the phone call?
Well, if you heard the phone call, it
wasn't muffled.
Well, no, his voice, it definitely sounds, well, the report that we have is that he had a gag with a bar, like through his mouth like that. That's what he sounded like. Can you hand somebody over?
I've heard it before. It didn't sound like that.
Yeah, it does, though.
It did.
I don't think so, guys.
Well, why don't we play it again?
All right. Hold on a second. While you're on the phone, Charlie, hold on.
Yeah, play it back.
Okay.
911.
Hi there. I'm stuck in a pair of handcuffs. I'm going to need help getting out before this becomes a medical emergency.
A medical emergency. He cannot formulate all the letters.
Convinced?
Charlie, come on.
Okay.
It's a medical emergency. Sorry, Charlie. Tom, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Good to hear you.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah?
And just my question is, like Charlie said, how did he make the call if you are handcuffed and your hands are not available? How are you making this call? And if your hands are free, why wouldn't you take the gag out of your mouth first or something?
Well, that's what makes me think that the handcuffs must have been behind him.
Yes.
Okay, so how's he down the phone?
Maybe Siri did it for
him. Okay, and you got to have a buddy you can call in this situation.
I would think that the police would be the absolute last resort. You got to think that this priest must have thought of, who can I possibly call here? No, can't call him. Can't call the bishop. Can't call the nun. Can't call whoever.
Somebody. You got to have a buddy you can call in this situation to get you out of this. Because, man, it's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate
it. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. I don't make the stories up, ladies and gentlemen, but as I've said many times in the past, people ask me, how do you prepare to do a three-hour radio show every day? And I tell them, I wake up in the morning, and I say a little prayer to the ether. Please let someone somewhere have done something incredibly stupid today so that I have a show. And I am telling you that I have been doing radio since 1973.
Never had a problem.
That's 40 years I've been doing radio. I've never had a day. Never have I had a day where there wasn't somebody who did something stupid. And I thank them all from the bottom of my paycheck.